On behalf of the yeshiva, I was asked to introduce our next speaker. Before I introduce Rabbi Pachinsky, on behalf of the yeshiva, we'd like to thank Rabbi Pachinsky, Rabbi Mendel, and the entire Teres Torah of Boca that came to join us tonight. You know, the chizuk that we all get from a night like this, focusing on our Masorah, means so much more than the Masorah just being in one spot here in Miami. But Baruch Hashem, the Masorah has spread further north, and everyone being together adds tremendously to the ruach of the night. My dear friend, Rabbi Shaul Pachinsky, and I spent many years in yeshiva, and we all heard many, many speeches about Rabbi David, and I'm looking forward to hear, and we all should be, Rabbi Pachinsky's words.
We very much appreciate the opportunity to come join. The fact that we have the opportunity to, so to speak, be the O B'nai Ish Echad. We're like the younger brothers. And on an ongoing basis, the opportunity to get guidance from the yeshiva. And I very much appreciate the fact that such a strong, chashuv, established yeshiva, Rashi yeshiva, with such close proximity, definitely something that we take advantage of and we're very appreciative of. Yeah, I had the opportunity to be in by the yeshiva dinner this past week, and I felt a little overwhelmed because there were like 1,000 people there, and every 3 or 4 seconds I would come across someone I knew from my days in yeshiva, someone connected to the yeshiva who I haven't seen in a while. So like, you know, really, I'm supposed to come and have like a 5-10 minute conversation, catch up, what's going on. But by the time you say Shalom Aleichem, another person comes by. Just like a overwhelming, like what do you do? Like a little seer to how many people already are at the yeshiva dinner? Like so many that tell me they have the yeshiva are not there. It's just like a seer to me of Baruch Hashem, the tremendous growth of the yeshiva, of how many b'nai yeshiva there are within the system, the branches, people that themselves learned in yeshiva, people that are connected to the yeshiva, family members of b'nai yeshiva. And to think that really, it started that many years ago from Reb David, who started with his small group. And it's, of course, the schus of Reb David. The yeshiva would often quote Reb Gifter, telling the Reshiva Zatzal that the kiyum of the yeshiva and atzlach of the yeshiva is because Reb David is dayist for you, which in Yiddish, I guess, means he's helping you out up there. He's zugging a day at Hashem. He's negotiating for you up in Shemayim. But besides for the schus of Reb David, it also probably comes from the power and strength of the hashpah that Reb David conveyed. Reb David's Talmud Muvuk, the Reshiva Zatzal, the power that the Reshiva received from Reb David, the Torah, the Musar, the depth of Hargasha, that's really what attracted so many to the Reshiva Zatzal. And it was really that all the Talmidim of the Reshiva Zatzal and all the Talmidim of the Reshiva's Talmidim are really coming tofeach manas latfiach from the depth of Reb David's kesher to Torah, from his hagashas, from his musar, and the depth of his hashpa. I want to focus on one aspect, something that the Reshiva Zatzal used to often refer to Reb David, constantly refer back in many, many different contexts. And almost the entire yeshiva's push for our Batas HaTaira was very much centered around a particular understanding and a particular ideal in our Batas HaTaira. Yeshiva would often talk about when Rav David began the yeshiva, how he began without money, he began during the Depression, with tremendous bitachon, the yeshiva would often say he wasn't fazed, despite the fact that the projections were that the yeshiva would not last very long. The guy for the projections were a week or a month. But the word on the street was that Reb David would not be successful. And Reb David went with tremendous bitachon, and he went with a tremendous not being fazed. The yeshiva said, Reb David never said he'd be successful. Reb David never pushed and never focused on the fact that we will have success. That wasn't the thrust. The thrust was, we're doing the Ratzon Hashem. This is my tafkid. This is what Hashem wants me to do. That the Arbat Zatorah that Reb David had and conveyed to the Reshiva Zatzal, and that we tried to be netted from, is not a Arbat Zatorah of, we're going to succeed, we're going to accomplish, but rather, to do the Ratzon Hashem. What does Hashem want? How many times did the Reshiva talk about Lo Halacha HaMalacha Ligmar? That it's not for us to follow through and execute and accomplish, but rather just to try, just to be mishtadel. The ends don't justify the means, was another expression that was Margul B'Pumei of the Reshiva Zatzal. Again, always quoting and always referring back to the picture he had from his father. Reshiva would often present the picture of how many people throughout history, idealists who were driven by a mission, whether it's world peace, whether it's justice, love, all wonderful ideals. And driven by those wonderful ideals, they ended up trampling on Yechidim. They ended up killing Yechidim, becoming tyrants. Because when one's driven by this tremendous drive to accomplish a tremendous thrust of elevated ideals, so he tends to see the Yechidim and the individuals as minor pieces in the way of the tremendous matara that he's trying to accomplish. And how by us, that's not the thrust. The thrust is not to accomplish. The thrust is not to succeed. But rather, the thrust is simply to do the Ratzon Hashem. The Yeshiva often talk about the dichotomy between the thrust that we have and the understanding that it's not our responsibility. Yeshiva often quote, it says that Avraham Avinu was stuck in a dilemma. He wanted to give the brachas to Yitzchak, but on the other hand, if he would give the brachas to Yitzchak, then Yishmael would feel bad, he'd feel slighted. So what did Avraham Avinu do? The Medrash says it's a mashal to a king that had a paradise. He had, let's say, a garden. So he gave it over to an aris. And there were two ilanas kruchim zelazeb krayachecha. There are two trees wrapped, one in the other. Echad shel samchayim ve'echad shel samoves. One of them, a tree of life, of fruit, of healthiness, and the other one, a poisonous tree. So the aris is in a dilemma. Imashka nizeh shel samchayim, if I'm going to water the tree of life, then it's impossible to water it without watering the other tree. I'm going to also have to water the poisonous tree. And if I don't water the poisonous tree, then how will the other tree live? So the Aris is caught in his dilemma. He's deliberating, what should he do? Chazav Amar, he concluded, Ana Aris, Avir Ana Aris Isai. I'm an Aris, I'm a worker. I just do my work. He realized that this whole dilemma, it's not really my business. I'm not the balabas. I'm not the one that's in charge. I'm not the one that has to call the shots. I just have to do my job. And it's up to the owner. He'll decide. And he was misalik. He let it go. He didn't make a decision. Sheval Tyson. Kach Amar Avram. If I'm going to give the brachas to Yitzchak, then what am I going to do with Ishmael? He'll feel bad. And if I don't give the brachas, then what's going to be with the brachas? So Chazav Amar, Basar V'dam Ani. He said, I'm just the Basar V'dam. Ani Hayom Kan Amachar B'kever. I'm just here today and I'm gone tomorrow. I just have to do my job. Mikan ve'eloch ma'asha HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, Alasas ba'olam al-yaseh. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen in his world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do. The fact that when confronted with the future of Klai Yisrael, the brachas, Avraham Avinu certainly realizes the importance and the significance of bestowing the brachas on to the next generation, Dari Darius of Klai Yisrael. And there's seemingly a petty concern in the way. There's a Rosh Yishmael that's going to be slighted. If a person's thrust is success, if a person's driven by accomplishing, even for good reasons, L'shem Shemayim, the world needs a Klai Yisrael. That's the whole tachlis of the Bria. Then how could one ignore that just for the petty sliding feelings of a Yishmael? But if a person realizes that it's not my geshef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal Bas of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do a very fine job of taking care of the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that there needs to be a Klal Yisrael, Hashem will work it out. I'm an Eved, I'm an Aris, I'm a worker here. My job is simply to follow the instructions of my master. What are the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the mentality, that's the attitude. And if that's the mentality, then if it's a question of someone being slighted, and it's not necessarily the right thing to do, so then it's not my job, it's not my concern, I don't have to worry about it. And at the same time, while a person has to retain and maintain that attitude and that mentality, on the other hand, there's also the positive thrust that the Medrash says that Yechonyahu Melech Yehuda, who was the last descendant of Malchus Beis David, when he was imprisoned, and it appeared as though Nebuchadnezzar had him imprisoned, and it wasn't simple that they would ever be able to get him out. So the Sanhedrin sat down to try to brainstorm, what could we do to get him out? So Va'osasha Yashva Sanhedrin Gadola, the Medrash says, Va'amrun, they said, Be'ameinu Malchus Beis David Pesekes. Are we going to allow Malchus Beis David to seize in our time? Are we going to allow the last remnant of Malchus Beis David to die out without rescuing him? And they used that thrust and that push, and they brainstormed, and they realized that there really is something that we could do, and they came up with a plan. So Rishiva asked, are they kofrim chas v'shalom? There's a haftacha the Malchus Beis David will never seize. What were they worried about? That they motivated themselves by telling themselves that, are we going to allow Malchus Beis David to be abolished? Hashem said it won't happen. So Rishiva explained that really it's always that way. That when we drive ourselves and motivate ourselves by we want to accomplish for the right reasons, there has to be Torah in the city, we have to have some project, we have to get things going, all for all the right reasons that we motivate ourselves, and our drive is that we have to accomplish L'Shem Shemayim, to be Marbek L'Shem Shemayim, to bring Torah. Is it really up to us? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be Torah, then there'll be Torah without our efforts. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, deems it that there won't be Torah in this place, then nothing we can do to help. But our responsibility, b'nogeah to our achrayas, b'nogeah to our responsibility, we have to motivate ourselves. Our achrayas is ki'ilu, it's up to us. Our responsibility is as if it's in our reach, and that if we don't do it, then we're held accountable. So it was the same thing. Of course they knew that Malchus Beis David would never cease. But b'nogeah to their achrayas, since the natural situation was one that Malchus Beis David was at risk, then the thrust and the motivation is v'yameinu Malchus Beis David posekes. And in all of Rabbatzah's Torah, it has to be that dichotomy, that stira. On the one hand, we have to motivate ourselves. If we come into a situation and we're complacent, don't worry, Hashem will take care of it. I just have to do a little bit. Then we want to have that drive, and then we won't accomplish what we're responsible to accomplish. So our motivation and our drive has to be a minimum nifsika machas based David. Are we going to allow the city to be without Torah? Are we going to allow that the Kavod Shem Shemayim's banner should not be upheld? No, we have to do whatever we can. We have to inspire ourselves, and we have to brainstorm, and we have to give all our kaychais and all our efforts to try to help Torah succeed. But yet at the same time that we have that thrust and that drive, to constantly hold ourselves in check by the fact that overall, bottom line, it's not really our achrayas. Our achrayas is not the result. Our achrayas is to drive ourselves and motivate ourselves, ki'ilu, it's up to us. But the reality is it's not. The reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal Bas of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal Bas of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that will ultimately determine whether Kreish Shemayim will be Nisrab in this place. And our job is only to do what we can, to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, the job of the Aris. This is something that the Rishiva constantly spoke about. It's something that whenever he would discuss our Batzat Torah, he would constantly drive and drill into us, his Talmidim, the fact that as we go and as we're motivated and as we're ready to go, be Moser Nefesh, and the push of the Yeshiva was to be Moser Nefesh, to go bring Torah throughout America and to accomplish whatever we're able to accomplish. But to realize that ultimately, our job is lo lacha malacha ligmar. It's not our job to accomplish. It's not our job to succeed. The thrust is not on success. The thrust is not on making sure that things work out that the way that we think and hope they should. but rather I'm an aris and I have to do the Ratzon Hashem. And this is something that has had very practical nafkaminas. Rabbi Lubin was discussing, Chora is an application, all the failed branches. It's probably part of that, the conviction, and part of it is also the fact that the Yeshiva's thrust was not to succeed. That he tries one, it doesn't work, he tries another one, it doesn't work. It's not about succeeding, it's about doing the Ratzon Hashem. If one's driven by success, how many times could one fail and then still have the koach to continue? But it's not about success. The pressure to deviate from MS, how the Yeshiva took such pride in the fact that his Talmidim were known, that even as they had positions in Arbat Torah and they're building institutions, and there often comes this yonos of bending a little bit to try to get more money for the institution, to try to overcome some legality about the Erlichkeit. What does that come from? If a person is all caught up in the success of his institution, even if it's for the right reasons, he's caught up that the city needs Torah, and without it, what's going to be? But then, how's a person able, when there's some minor petty legality, or the negiyas come in? You could hear this, there might be a svar to say it's okay. If the thrust of success is so strong, then how is it possible for a person to be able to see straight? But if a person's thrust is, my achrayus is to do what I can, but ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that determines what will happen. Our job is to be an aris. Our job is simply to do Hashem's ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaBas of whether or not there will be success, not be success. So then we're able to look at it with a clear, objective decision. We're able to be more objective about it. If it's felt in Erlichkeit, if it's not MS, is this what Hashem wants us to do? Are these my instructions? If it might hurt Yishmael, if it's not what Hashem's instructing me to do, so then why would I do it? It's not my achrayus. The Yeshiva's attitude towards competition, the Yeshiva's attitude any time there was another institution, any one of the other cities of the branches. Or I remember one time, I learned a little in the mirror. So for a Pesach's man, so one I see someone in Chavetz Chaim in Queens that looks familiar. I recognized him, wasn't sure I remembered him from. I remember it was one of the family of the from the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. He was coming to ask the Yeshiva Rishus. They had a havamit of starting a branch of the Mir in America. They were going to start it in Queens. So Yeshiva's attitude, we all knew what the Yeshiva's attitude would be. Yeah, of course, kid aside from Tar B'Chachma, Mar B'Torah, Mar B'Chayim, the Yeshiva's overall attitude in Shara Torah started, always was, when it came to any potential threat of competition, the Yeshiva was always, he wasn't into success. It was all about, what does Hashem want me to do? Whether it's in the sign of an Adam L'makom, and the sign of an Adam L'chaveiro, and the depth to which a person has this Hashkafa inculcated in him. There's so many different levels. There's obviously a person in a makom, when he's in a position of a Batzah Torah, there is a push and there is a drive. The more that a person inculcates this hashkafa in him, the more that he's able to retain his objectivity, to see clearly, not to be swayed, not to be pressured, and to do what's right. The fact that the Yeshiva didn't deviate from the Masorah, like Rabbi Lubin said all the years, that he didn't make accommodations. He could have easily made accommodations to become a little more popular. All those years when the Yeshiva was not so popular and it was struggling. Yeshiva has a very unique style of learning. You know, perhaps on the surface, superficially, it might not be as geschmack. Yeshiva doesn't come across necessarily in the most, you know, the yeshiva don't come across the most yeshivish and the most frum. Sometimes it's not the most popular. But the yeshiva would not deviate from the Masorah. It was because of a strong connection to the Masorah. But it was also because he wasn't into the success. What he picked up from his father is that it's not about the Mossad success being successful. It's not about Torah being successful. It's about me doing what Hashem wants me to do. And if that's not my Masorah, if that's not my tafkid, so then that's not my instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what Hashem is instructing me to do. My job is only to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. I have to follow what's Hashem's ratzon. Whether or not there will be success or not success, does Hashem want me to deviate from my Masorah and to alter and to change? Hashem doesn't want that. I'm struggling, and I have a big push for success, and I'm spending day in, day out trying tachbulas to try to make myself successful and to make the yeshiva successful, and all it would take was a little bit of a deviation. But I'm not spending my days trying to be successful. I'm trying my days being mishtadl, but the reality is that it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm just doing my part. Yeshiva at almost every yard site would say over the story of the cook, that after David started the yeshiva, so the bachur at one point had a revolt, that there had been a cook in the yeshiva that apparently was dirty, and the bachurim decided that they just couldn't tolerate it anymore, and they weren't going to, they were refused to eat from the cook's food. So they gave Rav David an ultimatum. They said, either you fire the cook, or we're leaving. So here Rav David was, he had left Torah Vadas, probably was not an option to go back, and he wanted to have a yeshiva, to be Marbet Torah, and the only thing standing between him and the yeshiva was a cook. And she was dirty, Mustamad, the Bachar weren't making it up. Mustamad was some basis, there was some grounds, but she was an almana, and she'd be hurt. And Rav David paskin l'pidas Torah that it wasn't the right thing to do. But they're threatening, they're going to leave. So Rav David had some strong expression, basically saying that if they'll leave, then it's not worth his blood, he's not worth it, it's not worth his sweat for him to toil for them. And he stood his ground. And I guess, Baruch Hashem, they didn't end up leaving. But what gave him the strength to do that? Here, everything he's invested for, L'shem Shemayim, is all at risk. And it's so easy to be more heter. In the stomach, she wasn't so clean, and the Bachram need it. Maybe they're Madrega, they need it. But if a person's thrust and in the depths of his being, it's inculcated in him to the great, very, very deep level. The fact that I'm really not in it for the success, not only of my Mossad, I'm not in it for the success even of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that diagnosed for the success of Torah. What I'm here to do is simply to follow my instructions. What does the instruction manual say? What's Das Torah? What's the Psak? With David Paskin, seeing it with those objective eyes, he passed in that it wasn't the right thing to do. If it wasn't the right thing to do, so then there was no other cheshbon. And if that means that the yeshiva will close, it will close. It's not that I have betachin that I'm sure the yeshiva won't close. Maybe it will. Okay. So if my instructions are I should do something else, I'll do something else. It's whatever Hashem wants me to do. At one point, when the yeshiva was building, they spent many years trying to put together the building that they have now in Kew Garden Hills. A lot of money was invested, a lot of time, a lot of kokos. And at one point, the yeshiva realized that the Beis Medrash was set to be on a direction that was not straight as in a typical Beis Medrash, but rather was pointed specifically diagonally towards Mizrah. Terrific. Ma'amish totally kefi da halacha. So the yeshiva got nervous. He said, one second, we're specifically altering things in a recognizable way, in a way that the world is not makbid on it. It's mechzi kiyura. It looks like gaiva. It looks like we have to be more frum than everybody else. So the yeshiva, you're hearing the anhala members, or the people that are involved in the money, like we're terrified. Like the yeshiva started clarifying, maybe we have to just knock out all the plans and knock down whatever walls we already put up. The fact that we already invested a lot of money, and the fact that the yeshiva's been waiting for who knows how long to get this building up. But it's Mexicura, it's not so nice. It's not, yeshiva should look firmer like the other yeshivas. And the only thing that placated him is when they told the yeshiva that the reason why we did it wasn't because we wanted to face Mizrach, but it happened to be practically for the plans, technically it worked out better that way. And then he was appeased. But they were really nervous that he was going to pull the plug and set them back. After all that effort, after all that investment, what does Hashem say? Is this the right thing to do? Well, you could easily overlook it. You could easily say, be more a heter. Okay, fine, so worse comes to worse. So you'll be a little more frum. But on such a quote-unquote minor consideration, if it's not what Hashem wants, then what's going to be with our building? How much longer will it take us to get in? What about everything we invested? It's not a cheshbon. It's only a cheshbon in as much as it actually alters the Das Torah. But to whatever degree it doesn't alter the Das Torah, to have that clarity, that objectivity, that the Tara of Machshava, based on the fact that internally, to a very, very deep degree, it's not about being successful. It's not about my investment. It's about what does Hashem want me to do. There was some years ago, I think it was after the Yeshiva's Patira, there was one of the few benefactors of the Yeshiva, someone that the Yeshiva had befriended, had given money to the Yeshiva, and there was a hope that they would continue giving, made a request. The person had an organization that they pushed a worthwhile cause, and they asked that they're having a lecture in Queens about this topic. They asked if maybe the Bnei Yeshiva could attend. So there's nothing objectionable about the material. It was a lecture that was fine, nothing wrong with it. So initial gut reaction is, yeah, why not? You'll make the person happy. The Baal Bus will be happy that you're sending the yeshiva. But then the yeshiva realized, Adhala realized, they said that we can't put up a sign that says that Plony the Gevir requested that everybody go to this thing. If it gets back, then it will ruin, it will, you know, obviously it will shoot ourselves in the foot. We'd have to put up a sign saying that the yeshiva feels it's worthwhile for the Bnei Yeshiva or the Kol Yagalai to attend this lecture. But is that something that really we, if not for the Negiah of money, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't tell them not to learn a night seder to go to this lecture. It's a worthwhile cause, but it's not really something that, based on the chinuch, that we really feel is necessary. So we're giving off like a message that's not really true. So they didn't do it. They picked up from the Reshiva, they picked up from Reb David, the fact that how easy is it to be more heter? It's not bad. It's not like I said, if it's something that's not nice, it's something that's krum, there was nothing krum about it, there wasn't a concern that it would be not straight. It was totally straight, it was totally fine, but it wasn't something within the chiddich of the yeshiva, that the yeshiva would be mevatel in the life from a night seder to attend. So to give off that message, even though they had cultivated a relationship with the Baal Bus, and obviously rejecting the request could have ramifications, but what Rav David and the Reshiva Zatzal pushed and drove into the yeshiva was the hashkafa of, it's not about being successful, it's about doing what's the Ratzon Hashem. Yeshiva would often quote his father. He said, my father never said what's going to be. Because any time the yeshiva is in financial difficulties, any time there are problems, what's going to be? What are we going to do? That Rav David never asked that. He was a big Baal Batochen. But part of that betachan was not just the fact that he's a big Baal Batochen, Hashem will take care. It was a betachan that I don't have to be successful. And that element to betachan makes the betachan much stronger. If a person needs to be successful, and he has to hang his betachan on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come through for me, so then there's always that lingering doubt. But what if Hashem deems it that in this case, he's not going to come through for you? What about if the Ratzon Hashem is, in this case, you'll fail? But if a person's betachan contains within it the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a dime could change anything, and I'm optimistic that even when it looks bleak, Yeshua Hashem Karef Ayin. But part of the equation is the fact that, and if not, not. I'm only here to do the Ratzon Hashem. And if Hashem's Ratzon is that the institution fails, if Hashem's Ratzon is that we're not successful, then I'll embrace that also. That adds a whole different dimension to that betachan. It's a stronger betachan. You never ask what's going to be, because it's not okay what's going to be. It's not my world. It's not my geshef what's going to be. That's not my concern. My concern is simply to do what Hashem wants me to do. And whatever Hashem wants to be, that's what Hashem decides will be. This hashkafa also is very, very useful after the fact. What does a person do? A person invests time and effort, and he builds something. He tries to build something, and it fails, or he tries and he never sees success. So a person fails like a failure. So Yeshiva would often quote the pasuk in Yeshaya, the Radak, that Yeshaya Hanavi tried giving Klal Yisrael tochacha, and they didn't listen. So Yeshaya says, L'riki gati, I was yogea, I toiled, and I gave effort for nothing. It didn't amount to anything. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it light in your eyes that you were an Eved Hashem? That Isn't it enough for you? Granted, you weren't successful. Granted, they didn't listen. But isn't it enough that you did my shlichus? If a person's focus is on success, if a person's thrust is on accomplishing, then what happens if he doesn't accomplish? Then he's a failure. Then he feels yish, he gives up. If a person's drive is not success, if a person's drive is to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shlichus, so then even when he quote-unquote fails, he didn't fail. Is it light in your eyes? Is it light in your eyes to be my Yeved? Is it light in your eyes to do my shlichus? What I'm here to do, my mission is to do the shlichus of Hashem. And if I did the shlichus of Hashem, then I succeeded. And if I didn't do the shlichus of Hashem, then even if I succeeded, I failed. And even Yeshaya, with all his connection to Hashem and all his love of doing the Kadosh Baruch Hu's shlichus, even he, on some level, he needed Hashem to, so to speak, on some level, put him in his place. That it's not easy. There are so many different levels, and when a person does take the initiative and does take the thrust, and he does have the other part of the dichotomy of Nifsaka Machas Beis David, then by putting all that thrust and all that effort, there's a natural inclination to feel and to be driven by success. And even Yeshaya, on some level, on some dachistical level, he failed in this. But the more that we're able to inculcate ourselves with it, and the more that we're able to make it a part of us and to drive home the fact that that's what it's about, then the easier it is during and after to be able to feel that I was successful because I did Hashem Shlichus. The Ralbag in Vayishlach, he's discussing the toalesis that you see from the parasha. So he says that what happens if a person is in a situation, we know that the classical case of Ishtalus is that a person has an opportunity to be Mishtadl to do something that will help along his course. He says, but what happens if a person has two options? That either of them is bad. He has one choice to choose something that's bad, and one choice is to choose something that's worse. So says the Ralbag, there's a toelas from the Parshas Vayishlach that a person should choose the better of the two options. He says, where do you see this from? You see this from Yaakov. That when Yaakov was confronted by Esav, Esav was coming to destroy him, that Yaakov didn't just leave his machaneh the way it was, but he divided it so that in his hope that even if Esav will conquer and destroy Rachman al-Tzlan, one of the groups, the other group will remain. Says Rabag, you see from here, it's not the proper attitude to say that since both choices are bad, I should be mishtadl and divide up the machaneh. That's being bochur b'ra. I'm not doing a bechira for tov. I'm doing a bechira so that when he destroys, he should destroy less. So you might think, he says that's not the bechira that's right. His lashon is, ulai yisrash was adam lechashva she'ein roi sheiv chabara. It's not roi that it should be bochur b'ra, and therefore I shouldn't do it. Says Rabag, you learn from this parasha Natzo, that it is right. He says, because since this is the better of the two options, so klape the other option, that's tov. So it is tov. So what's the Rabag's havamina? Somebody would think that Yaakov Avinu, in his situation, that the proper thing to do is to do nothing. You're in a situation where you're at risk of losing the whole Klai Yisrael. You're at risk of Esav destroying Klai Yisrael, your family, Klai Yisrael, Ladari Dairais. So maybe I should not be bocher, because it's not right to be bocher bechira, that's not tov. Okay, but of the options, this is the one that makes the most sense. It's the better of the two options. Why would one not choose that? Because apparently, even within our gedarim of being done on what's the proper hishtalos, the proper hishtalos is not, let's forget about chas v'shalom, ki'ilu is up to us, and ki'ilu it's tali on teva. And let's see what makes the most sense. Of course, if it's Talian Teva, what makes the most sense is to save whatever you can. But it's totally Talian HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And my Chiva Vishtalis is not to have it to be Vishtadl as if it wasn't. My Chiva Vishtalis is to it's right to be Bochur B'Tov, because the Shbaruch Hu wants us to be Bochur B'Tov. So there's a Havanina that since it's not right to be Bochur B'Ratz, it's not together Hishtalis. Our attitude is supposed to be so not driven by success, so not driven by results, that together of what constitutes, it would make sense to have a Havamina to just leave things the way they are, because it's not considered a Bechira Batov to split the camp. In Teva, there's absolutely no explanation for it. But our Gedarim of what Hishtalos to do are not Teva. Our Gedarim of what Hishtalos to do is the mitzvah of Hishtalos, is the Ratzon Hashem of Hishtalos. The actual results have nothing to do with our Hishtalos. It's totally, totally on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While we're in yeshiva, while we're preparing Bez Hashem to become, in whatever capacity, Marbitzei Torah, whether it's an official capacity, or to be Mekadoshim Shemayim, in whatever capacity we have the opportunity, there are many opportunities, for one, to have a workshop in this. Even if it's not official Arbatzis HaTorah, it's not limited to Arbatzis HaTorah. A person is focused on growing and learning. What happens when my learning comes into conflict? I have a chavrusa that, for whatever reason, it's not so pasha that I should drop him. Or let's say a certain chaver has been asking me to learn, and maybe it won't be the best for my learning. So you have to ask a shaila. Sometimes you should do what's best for your learning. But sometimes it might be appropriate to, quote-unquote, compromise a little for one's learning, to take the chavrusa that's maybe not what's best for my learning. If a person's thrust is, my learning, I have to accomplish, I have to grow, I have to become the biggest lamdan I can. If it's all about my success, so then a little petty consideration like his feelings, but that's what I'm here for, that's what I'm in yeshiva for. If a person has the attitude of lo'olacha malacha ligmar, it's not about me achieving success, it's not about me growing and learning, it's about me doing the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is that I be mishtadel to try to become the biggest lamdan that I could. But what about if it will slight my friend? What's the proper Das Torah? To have the objectivity to discuss it and to be shol eitzah as to what's the proper Das Torah. I really would love to work on shir. I feel that I could use another hour to work on shir. And then my friend who didn't get shir comes over and he asks me, could you do me a favor? Could you help me out? Okay, maybe sometimes the proper answer is that no, I can't. I wish I could, but I really need to get shir myself. Or maybe sometimes the answer is that you should compromise and sacrifice that hour and help your friend. If a person remains driven and his sole focus is on, I have to make sure that I become the biggest lamdan I could, so then the shaila skips right over him. If a person holds back and he realizes that lo'olacha malacha ligmar, he realizes that the success and how much of a lamdan I become, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My job is to do Hashem's ratzon. You have someone in the shir that I want to ask the Rebbe a question. I'm afraid we won't get to it, and I'm not. And my whole chazara the next morning sachan is going to be ruined if I don't get to this question. But it will entail cutting him off, and maybe it's even a guy that doesn't talk so much. Okay, but I need to get it. How could I not get it? It's about getting it, or it's about doing the Ratzon Hashem. One of the guys asked me a shiloh today. He says the yeshiva is having a raffle. You know, it's a very, very important Indian to collect for the yeshiva. It really is. But how about if the only way that the person will give is if I mislead him a little? I'm not going to say a lie. I won't say a sheker. But I'll tell him something that he'll think a certain thing and it won't be true. If it's all about I have to raise the money and I have to, and you know, even with Shem Shemayim, even if it's, of course, there's nothing to do with any incentives. But it's because we have to help build Torah. If that's what it's about, so then. Okay, so I stuck in the line. You could be more a heter. If it's about what does Hashem want me to do? What's the Ratzon Hashem? I have to collect all the money. Yeshiva needs it. So how can I not do it during Seder? Maybe I'll miss this guy. Maybe I'll miss that guy. Is that the Ratzon Hashem? Does Hashem want me to do that? So while we're in yeshiva, if we try to focus on the concept and we try to use whenever things come our way, to use that as like a workshop to help ingrain within ourselves, the level to which we ingrain this within us will be the level to which we'll be able, Bezer Hashem, to be Marbet Torah with the proper mentality, to remain as objective as possible, and to be able to that a thrust, Bezer Hashem, when we have the opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in a more profound way, that we'll be able to do it with the proper attitude and mentality, not Chas V'Shalom, to do it Laman our success, or to do it even Laman Torah's success, but to do it as an Eved Hashem and to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem.